Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
So how are you feeling now? After hearing Kevin Stefanski and Matt Ryan address everyone. Atlanta! What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! I have to tell you, I feel better. I didn't necessarily know, Mike, if I liked the answer, which he was completely honest about, in who's going to be calling plays, because it's something we've talked a lot about. But overall, and you were there today, what do you think the response was with Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah, I mean, different energy than Raheem. Some of the similar coach speak that you get from any coach who's in the NFL. And there's kind of a shorthand these guys use. But, you know, I wouldn't exactly clarify it as some guy. I've seen people write on social media, well, there's adults in the room. Like, Raheem's an adult. He just hired the wrong guys, you know. You know, it just wore thin because we weren't winning. But Stefanski is impressive. I mean, saying all the things I think you want to hear. I mean, look, you and I were just talking off the air. The Tommy Rees thing is big because there's folks in our listening audience that have familiarity with him from his time in Bama. How much of that was him still cutting his teeth as an OC or Jalen Milroe wasn't ready? Remember, Saban didn't really have a quarterback to start that season. So that's a small sample size. Guy asked me what I thought of Tommy Rees. You didn't really have a baseline with him because the quarterbacks kept turning over in Cleveland.
Right.
You know, I mean, they did do well at the end, you could argue, with Shador. But I don't know yet. I mean, we'll all learn together, but Stefanski has confidence in him.
So he said today, guys, and we're going to go through all of this. Big shout out to Andy and Randy and Coach for stopping by, Matt for stopping by with the guys, and you'll hear those interviews coming up. For those of you who missed it, a little bit later on in the show, you'll hear from Matt, and that's Matt Ryan, president of football, and then obviously you'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. But he said a lot of different things, and we'll focus in on some of the things that we think are important in regards to where we currently are. Some of this is going to change once they start working. Once we start getting a feel, Mike, for what this might look like, some of this is going to change. But look, he said he's here because he believes in the group. Obviously, that's Matt and that's Arthur Blank. Mm. And he believes in the roster. And he said, this is where I wanted to be. And that resonated with me, Mike, because a lot of times these coaches just kind of go from interview to interview. And it's like, well, if they offer, I'll probably say, go somewhere where you want to be. Go somewhere where you feel like you can make a difference. Go somewhere, Mike, where you feel like you can win. And he said, look, I didn't know if they were going to offer me the job or not, but this is where I wanted to be. I also thought, what did you think about his conversation in regards to Penix? It was gray, guys. It wasn't black or white. He wasn't going to say Michael Penix is going to be the next big star in the NFL.
Right.
But he also didn't say he's not my guy. Mike, I think they're all in on him.
Right. I think that the impression I got is they're going to try to make this work. Number one, it makes sense financially. You know, you've still got 3, 4, 5 years, if all goes well, 3 more years, right? Years 3, 4, and 5. We just have to wait because we don't know just how healthy and when he'll be able to go for 2026. A couple of guys hit me and go, why do they ask about Cousins? Because they don't know and they're not going to answer that question. They don't have a general manager in place yet. That was no point in asking that. But as far as Penix, yeah, he's saying the right things. He's had interactions with Penix Jr. I'm sure he's looked at some of the tape. He talked about play action. He talked about the zone blocking scheme married with the gap scheme. Now, what does that mean? That's thinking like the old school Redskins, or even take it back to the Commanders, you know, back in the day. So it's going to be maybe some changes to the offensive line. Maybe it's center. Don't know yet. Again, that'll happen once Matt and the GM get together. But they see Penix as a resource they want to build up. And he's saying all the right things. But as you said, but not over-promising.
No, because I also think they realize, and look, as a real fan, you have to do this too. They got to protect themselves. That you've got to have a plan in place if, in fact, this doesn't go necessarily the way you hope it does. But to hear him say, look, I've seen Michael. He's rehabbing. We've heard this from Matt going back a few weeks ago. You know, he's working his way back, and he's in a good spot. Once he gets physically able to do the things we need him to do, then we're going to throw him into this thing, Mike. And the good news is, what I like the most today, and by the way, we can hear from you at 404-726-0929, is what I heard from Matt in regards to what he thinks makes a great offense, and he's played on them. And then what Stefanski said, hey, you got to do all these things, Mike. You got to marry all these things to take the pressure off your quarterback. And these are the things that we were screaming during the season when we had the other coordinator here, Zach Robinson. And none of this stuff was marrying. None of it was being played to set other things up. And look, the play action was non-existent until it was. Mm-hmm. And then we also know the run game was there, but was it as consistent as it should have been? Look, Bijan a lot of times made these plays, guys.
Yes.
There was nothing in the backfield, Mike, and all of a sudden it's a 5-7-yard
right.
game.
He'd make guys miss. I mean, you've seen it. And sometimes, you know, whether Kyle Pitts would miss a block or whoever the receiver was, I mean, he sometimes had to do it himself and then turn it into something special. So I know a lot of the questions that you want answered will be eventually answered. But, again, he hasn't had a chance to get this team on the field yet. And as we said, eventually it looks like, and maybe sooner than later, because a couple of guys are getting second face-to-face interviews for the general manager position. Multiple reports now from our buddy Mark Raimondi from ESPN.com that apparently Ian Cunningham, who we kind of liked him from the jump, you know, based on his experience. Remember, guys, we're the only guys looking for a GM. Ryan said they're making strong progress in that area, and we will eventually find out where that's going. But, I mean, I think Rispert's going to get a second interview as well, the young man from the assistant with the Texans.
Yeah, and by the way, the whole, Stefanski specifically said, look, I'm here to help. I'm not here to tell the GM what he needs to do or do his job. It's important because, again, we're trying to figure out, again, hey, I like this guy. I like him too. Matt, what do you think? What do you guys want to do? I want to pick the kid. Okay, great. Kevin, what do you want to do? I like the kid too. Well, let's pick him. That's what it should be.
Right. Now, we've always had these burning questions about, sorry to cut you off, our organization going back to Dimitroff and Quinn.
Right.
When you have an impasse, not that this guy's going to be like swinging on each other over a player.
He's swinging on Cubs.
Who is the guy who's going to be the tiebreaker? We presume it's Matt Ryan. How about that?
Yes, I would agree. Let me hear head coach Kevin Stefanski answer the question about Tommy Rees. Look, most revealing thing of the day, because we all assume, well, it's Kevin's offense, Dukes. Kevin will call the plays. No, he's not. Here's what he said.
Tommy will call plays. That's a setup that I'm very, very comfortable with. I think he's an outstanding football coach. He's young, but I don't know if you always measure experience just in years. I think he's had unbelievable experiences in his young career. He's somebody that I trust. We see the game similarly, but we also push each other because we're different. So Tommy will head up that offensive staff. I'm excited about some of the people we've been able to bring in already to this group. And, I have the utmost confidence in Tommy.
Okay. I'm not surprised, but I am a little taken back that, Mike, you get into a new organization, you're the head coach, you're the offensive mind, you have a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want that responsibility on your shoulders to make sure that this is going in the right direction? That's what I'm surprised about. I'm not surprised that Tommy Rees is here and he's going to call plays. He called plays in Cleveland when he was there, so he trusts him. That's obvious. But what Kevin is saying, and guys, this is huge. I'm going to delegate, Mike. I'm going to trust my guys. I'm bringing these guys in. I'm going to trust them to do the job.
Now, is it what I like, honestly? No. I'd like him to call the plays, but he explained it. And he talked to Andy and Randy and said, like, he'll develop the game plan. And as he said, he'll be like a caddy in that sense. Okay. You know, I mean, we know that McVay basically does the game plan. There is an OC on the Rams, but it's McVay's plan. We've seen that with other teams. You know, we're seeing Ben Johnson calling the plays in Chi-Town as the head coach. I would prefer him to do that, but he has the faith in Rees, so that it lets him to look at other areas of the team which may need his attention. So that's one way to look at it. And we're going to find out how it works here in a couple of months. But, I think for a lot of maybe other fans don't give a crap. Maybe fans, you know, they don't know Tommy Rees from a hole in the ground.
No, they won't until this offense isn't scoring again.
Well, that's just it.
Okay. Well, but that's part of the issue, though,
Do I like it personally? No. But and you'll hear the conversation with Andy and Randy. They get into that about the play calling, yep. And he'll talk about his role with the offense. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
And the only reason it matters is because our offense has not been good as a whole. Look, we're barely scoring 19 points a game last year. It's a joke. So when you put it in the context of, Mike, even going back to Arthur Smith, got to score more points. Yeah, coach, we got to score more points. Rock comes in and goes, man, the offense has got to be more potent. Yeah, coach, it's got to be more potent. Now here comes Kevin, and I'm not saying it won't be, but that's why we are concerned as a fan base as to who the hell's calling these plays and how this is going to look. Because it's got to look better, coach, than it's looked over the last 4 to 5 years when this offense has had certain pieces, but it's kind of been inept. It's kind of been boring. That is why we are concerned about it. What about culture, Mike? This is Kevin Stefanski saying this is what he believes in how to build culture.
I would tell you that when it comes to accountability or culture, it's really my job to enable a program and put up a guardrails, if you will, with the program. But the best accountability comes from the locker room. and I believe it is player-driven. And I think Matt's been a part of that in his NFL career in these locker rooms. So I will certainly put a structure together for our players, for our coaches, to hold each other accountable. But at the end of the day, a player-driven culture is what we will have.
What you think?
Yeah, I think that's the key to any good organization, any team in professional sports. In college, you got to have that. You know, you got to have some leadership and accountability. I know that, and we talked about it with Trey here when he was younger, and did we have it with the Hawks? We didn't think it was there. Some fans didn't give a crap because they don't understand the culture thing. But there is, I think it's an important part. I think Bijan is a guy that sets that tone. You know, I think you've got, on the defensive side, I think we got a couple of players that could be that dude. I think, you know, just based on what he did at Georgia, Jalen Walker could be one of those guys. But we know Bijan, for instance, he sets that tone. Everyone sees what he does, the work ethic, the effort, everything. The approach.
Yeah, man. I mean, and now all of a sudden you look at B, and he's been here for a few years. He's established himself in the league, Mike. He is a leader in this locker room.
And Penix, by the way, forget about Michael Penix Jr. He was a leader. We talked about it. You know, I mean, we're trying to overhype an event, but when he's down there in the middle of the scrum scrapping with the Tennessee Titans, everybody's like, yeah, that's my quarterback. So Penix is that guy. It just got – I felt it got sideways because Zach wasn't helping him. And I just think they just kept doing things with Penix Jr. that was not putting him in a place to succeed, and he didn't respond. So that's hopefully where Stefanski and, you know, Tommy Rees will excel, you know, and help him. And then, because he is a leader on this team, too. He's a natural leader.
I agree. 404-726-0929. Day-Day, let's take some phone calls. You feel a little bit better? You don't feel better. If you don't, tell us why. I think we're in good hands. I'm not telling you he's a mastermind and we're about to lead the league in scoring. What I am going to tell you, though, is, Mike, I think he learned from his experience in Cleveland, and I think he's coming in, and you talk about the synergy and all these words we're using, these buzzwords. You heard it today. Like, him and Matt are sitting there. It could have been either one of them speaking, and you would have gotten the same answer, which mm-hmm. tells you they have spoken a lot about what they want to try to achieve and the vision for this football team. 404-726-0929.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport had it. I was looking for the source on that. James Lipfert, two eyes in Lipfert, assistant GM with the Texans, slated to fly for a second interview later this week.
Mm.
So he is definitely considered a finalist for the GM job.
Yeah, yesterday we were at home, guys, because, again, the Hawks and the weather and all that stuff happened. So if you joined us late yesterday, we were on from like 4 to 6. But I mentioned the fact that a lot of these interviews that have happened prior to now have been on Zoom.
Right.
Or whatever you use, okay? Pick Google, Meet, whatever it is. Because of, one, the playoffs, two, certain situations, and then the weather last week just played a role in guys getting here. Now, Mike, you're bringing guys in face-to-face. I think these are the dudes.
Right. And Matt, as we said, if there is that dreaded tie goes to Matt Ryan. Okay, he'll break the tie. And we're talking about free agents and draft picks. That's basically it, right? I mean, the game plan is the game plan. Physical, they're going to run the football. They talked about physical. Matt said it. Stefanski said it. They want an identity. Think about the Ravens. Physicality, right? Steelers are in there winning. Physicality. That's what we want.
What separated Kevin Stefanski in Matt Ryan's mind? You're going to hear it coming up. It's Dukes and Bell.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
We are talking about what Coach Kevin Stefanski said today in his presser as he was introduced to the ATL. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. I want to talk to Charles and Lathonia before we get into what Matt Ryan had to say, because they both addressed the media today. And coming up, by the way, great job by Andy and Randy in talking with both Coach and Matt Ryan, and you'll get a chance to hear what both of them had to say. But Charles, thank you for listening. Do you feel a bit better? Do you not feel better? What are your thoughts right now?
You know, in the beginning, I was a little not happy about it. But when I really thought about it, you know, and looked at it, I think it's a good fit. I actually think it's a great fit, actually, if they give him a chance to do what he needs to do. 2 or 3 years. I mean, not come in and win right away, but I think he can get the job done. So it's a great fit. I believe I'm good with it.
Charles, appreciate you.
Thank you. I mean, I don't have the patience that Day-Day or Charles has right there. I mean, I got to win now. I think in this division, it's certainly doable because we've seen it. Nine wins is kind of the benchmark. You know, are you telling me we can't crank out one more win? Because that's basically what your tax was doing. Give me one more year.
Yeah.
Give me one more win. And yeah, I hope they can get it done. Because I think, you know, the basic blocking and tackling that unfortunately just is what it is, Carl, that didn't happen in the previous regime.
I would agree.
You know, accountability and special teams. You know, no dumb timeouts. No delay of game penalties. No self-inflicted stuff. Things like that.
Yeah, being a really good disciplined football team. The irony, you know what, is we were one of the least penalized teams.
Right.
Last year.
It just seems that when it happened, it cropped up at the worst possible time.
And it set you back. Yeah. That's what's crazy about it. It's Dukes and Bell, 404-726-0929. You can join the conversation as we are reviewing a lot of what was said this afternoon and kind of, you know, just taking it all in, man. I want you to hear Matt Ryan. And by the way, let me say this, too. This is a sidebar. Mike and I were talking about Terry Fontenot and Raheem. And Fontenot's tenure here, remember, it was two coaches, right?
Right.
Most GMs don't get three. But I will say this, as cool as Terry was, you didn't know him. You didn't trust him. You really didn't. When you thought he was cooking, he wasn't. And when he was cooking, you weren't sure. And what I mean by that is this his pick? Or is he picking these players? Is he allowed to do things? And here's what's changed, Mike, and this is just a general observation. You know Matt Ryan. You trust him. He won a lot of games for you. He has been the face of this city and this franchise for a very long time. And now with him out in front of this new dynamic,
right?
I just feel like, Mike, there is a little bit more of, and this is what I was seeing too during the presser because I was kind of laughing when he was speaking was, yeah, Matt, we trust you. You immediately are going all in because you feel like he knows what he's talking about and he knows what he's doing. I feel the same way. But, Mike, I do think that's helping this situation where we currently are. Not taking anything away from Terry. I know he gave it 110% right. to try to make this work. But this feels different because you have a trust already with the guy that's the face.
I think you should have, to Carl's point, I think there's always going to be some folks who, for whatever reason, have an agenda with Matt. Whatever, man. I'm with Carl. Who knows this team better? As we said, no, he's not going to be Matt doesn't know exactly about the cap and all that stuff from the gym. Yeah, there's people that do that. I think people get obsessed with the small details. They're going to have a general manager who's going to be his partner in this. And he did say in his introductory press conference, he's going to let these guys do their jobs. But there's got to be that synergy you talked about. I know we get hung up on, we hate these buzzwords, collaboration, collaborative effort. But it's pretty simple. Here's the mission. We want a physical football team. We obviously know, yes, we're going to get skill position guys, et cetera. But we want to be able to run the football, develop Michael Penix Jr. We've got a great young defensive nucleus. How do we work with that? There's the mission statement. Let's go. Not that complicated. So, getting, just for argument's sake, if it is Lippert from the Texans, there's a team which is drafted perfectly when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. Has done a really hell of a great job. Now they got to improve their quarterback. That's not his job, but they put the pieces on the field.
Yeah, they did. Let's hear Matt Ryan talk about Kevin Stefanski and how when they spoke, he matched the vision in which Matt saw and what he thinks this team can be.
And he separated himself, number one, in the alignment of vision for the football team. He wants smart, tough, highly competitive players and coaches that are open to be being held accountable and holding each other accountable. He's an excellent communicator. He's clear, he's concise, and he's direct. And I think that style of communication lends to connection, which is so huge amongst players and coaches, but also coaches and coaches.
Now, again, Matt had nothing to do with the previous two hires, Carl, and not putting words in his mouth. But even with a guy that we got along with both, we got along great with Raheem and Arthur, but sometimes there was a lot of stuff being said, and I was having a hard time trying to get the substance out of it. Just keep telling it like it is, you know? And I think they also talked to a lot of his former players and players that worked with him around the league, and they got a good report on him.
Yeah, man.
We don't want a BS artist, you know? And we know something's not working. I don't want to hear sunshine. I don't want everyone to look at the tape. I want to hear how you're fixing it. You know, I want to see you fix it. And more importantly, you know, telling me how you're going
to
fix it.
Yeah, look, to your point about talking to guys, you can be great in these job interviews, but what your peers say about you carries a lot of weight. And what your players and former players say about you carries a lot of weight. And that is, honestly, I think what got Kevin Stefanski this job. I don't think Kevin went in there and did anything super spectacular, Mike, that probably Arthur Blank at this point in his life hasn't heard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start talking to other people and they're like, dude, that wasn't his fault. Dude, he's a really good communicator. Man, he knows how to talk and work with other coaches. And you start getting all this feedback, and all of a sudden, it is about your references. And guys, in real life, it's no different. Your life, whatever your job is, more than likely you're going to get your next job based on that. It has nothing to do with Mike. He's got 20 years experience. There were guys that were more experienced than he is being in the league. There are guys who've called plays and done more. But those things matter. And I think that's why you can go from a bad situation, which I think Cleveland was, to maybe coming here and turning this around. That is what gives me a little bit of hope. Again, I'm not all sunshine today with we're going to Super Bowl.
Right.
But I do feel better. That's where I'm sitting. And look, I've been, I told you, I talked about Stefanski weeks prior to him getting hired, and people didn't like it. And then you see the record, and then all this nonsense started, Mike, and we tried to debunk that. But the fact of the matter is, I think he did a really good job of handling what he needed to handle today.
Right. And as we said before on the show, I mean, you can have a killer killer press conference and not do the job on the field, or you can have a horrible press conference and win a Super Bowl, you know, like a Sirianni in Philly. So the work now continues and begins and continues. Creflo Nickel hits us up, Carl and Mike.
Creflo!
I love this guy. He says, what I heard today, parentheses finally, was a combination of front office competence paired with coaching competence and experience. It'll be several months before we get to see if that's actually the case. Exactly. But, you know, they wanted a guy who's been there and done that. Now, and as I said, if you were like me and you wanted something fresh, if Kubiak might not even get a job in this hiring cycle. He may go back to the Seahawks. They're just like Ben Johnson did a year ago with Detroit. But if he does get a gig, we'll compare and contrast. But that's what they were looking for. Matt wanted people that had been there. And there was a degree of competence. You know, I think you felt that to a degree from the interview.
One other thing from Matt, guys. It's Dukes and Bell talking about how he is defining the vision for this team. Remember, Arthur Blank used this word a lot when he introduced Matt, Mike. We were sitting there, and he was like, the vision. Matt will lay out the vision for the team. Yeah. So here's what Matt says he wants to see. And this
we wanted a detailed, tough, physical football team. On offense, we want an offense that has the ability to run the football, that is going to be explosive with the pass game off of the run. On defense, we're going to stop the run. We're going to be physical against the run. In the pass game, we're going to affect the quarterback physically, and we're going to affect him mentally as well, with disguise, with the way that we play coverage. And then on special teams, we were looking for a unit that was incredibly detailed, that plays with great effort and strain. So it really set up the format for what we were looking for from the head coaching candidates that we spoke to.
Yeah, man, you and I were just talking off the air. It kind of reminds me a little bit about the team that Matt took over when he was drafted in 2008. Really physical, a real nasty offensive line, rugged defense. You know, and they got after it, and that's why they were able to go to the playoffs his first year. So I like that. I like that part. I don't know who would not like that part of the conversation.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, what happened the last couple of years? Arthur Blank hired these guys. Now, yes, he ultimately signs the checks, and he signed off on this, and yes, he did grill the steak. Garrett Chapman asked him that question. But Matt went and found Stefanski and said, this is the guy you're going to hire, Arthur. And Arthur said, okay.
Yes.
So that let's just by having Arthur not making that decision, that's a check. That's something on the positive side. I have to say it. It's
no,
true.
It is. And this is what he had to do. He had to empower Matt to make these decisions.
Right.
That's what he did. Here's the reason why that soundbite's important. If none of that is happening, you're gone. Here's how I want to play defense. Here's how I want to play offense. Here's the kind of players we want. If none of that is happening, then you're not going to be here. And Matt is saying this is the kind of football team that I envision us being. All right, we got more to get to. Reminder, Wednesday night, join Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at all the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state, guys. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation, Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got plenty more to dive into and more of your phone calls as we continue to move along and maneuver what Kevin Stefanski said today and what it means for our football team. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
couple of other things going on in regards to the Falcons. They are retaining D-line coach Mike Nadolly, which is, I think, a big get. Yeah. Secondaries coach Justin Hood and tight ends coach Kevin Coger. All those guys are staying. And you already know Jeff Ulbrich. And so that's most of the defensive staff that's coming back that you just hope, Mike, that this defense is going to continue to get better. I'll say this. For a lot of those guys on defense, man, just being comfortable helps.
Right.
Like, you're coming back. You know what's expected. You know what you got to do. Now, Mike, we got to fine-tune this thing to get better. And look, there's no debating. We still need a few more pieces, right, to get really to where we want to be. If you want this to be the Seattle defense, which they're top 10 in every category, that's a next level, right? The sacks thing is great. Let's come back and maybe get that again or top it next year. But there are other things we got to get better at. And you heard Matt say, we got to stop the run.
Yeah, man, this team has got a lot of people. That's why we talked about, you know, where do they rank? Everyone's going to rank. That's the best job. That's the second best job, okay? I mean, Harbaugh, you know, was swayed by the Giants, okay? And now, no one's going to ask in front of Stefanski, so you couldn't get Harbaugh, you settled. That's not the way you asked the question at a press conference. How much do they really, really want Harbaugh? Well, maybe someday we'll find out. But Stefanski, once Harbaugh did go, was the next guy up. And because Tennessee certainly wanted to get an established coach, that's how they went with Robert Saleh, right? So there was that sense of urgency. You weren't going to let him leave. And as we always know, if Matt says, you know, this is the guy, Arthur's going to close on it, right? Here, have a steak. You hire it. You know, and that's how it went down. But yeah, what do you do now? Well, you got to get Penix. If whatever you think of Penix, make him better. How's that? Whatever he did last year, good, bad, and ugly, make it better. Make him consistent and put him in the offense that – let's be honest. The things you expected as a fan that you never saw with Penix. Him under center, play action, turn around, boom, boom, boom. Matriculating the ball down the field, not having these long third downs. Let's be honest. Getting him to maybe run and take it when it's there. Things like that. You got two guys now. I'm not as sold on Reese. We'll learn. What do you know about Reese, right? We only know that he had multiple quarterbacks in Cleveland to call the plays for. And he was involved with Nick Saban. Nick Saban, look, here's one thing. Two ways of looking at it. Saban saw enough, the guy who's basically turned everybody's career into solid gold,
true,
to hire Tommy Reese. The problem they had was nobody really distinguished themselves as a quarterback that year, and eventually it was Milroe. And by the end of the year, things were kind of humming with Milroe. Look at it that way.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair assessment. I know it's easy to go, you know, I'm not sure what this is going to be because I'm in that same boat. But I will say I'm going to give Tommy Reese a chance now that I know he's calling the plays. And look, Kevin Stefanski, what he's doing by doing this, by the way, and it's not like he can't take play calling duties back, but then you're really claiming that you made a mistake. So you want this to work, and you really want this to be what you're laying out. But when you do these kinds of things, Mike, you're putting your job in the hands of others when you're capable of doing the job yourself. Sean McVay doesn't have anybody else calling plays with the Rams. Because he ain't taking the chance of anybody else doing a better job. And by the way, nobody probably is or will do a better job. But Kyle's the same way. Big Red's the same way. We can talk about all these guys around the league who decide, you know what? But I will say this. Nick Sirianni, guys, when he got to the Eagles, was calling the plays. And then he realized, I got to take myself out of this. And they won a Super Bowl.
Right.
So sometimes it is the right decision. And I think this may be something Kevin learned when he was in Cleveland. Yeah, I can do this. Like he said today, you know, is that what I love to do? No, I can do this, but I also know that I'm probably more valuable to the team in other ways in game planning, Mike, and coming up with these game plans for the week and working with my guys. And I hope that's what the situation is going to be here. Doesn't mean that he's wrong to put Tommy Reese as the guy to call the plays.
Right. As I said, you know, guys are hitting us up in the text line. You're really down on this Reese guy. I don't know. I don't know enough. I just gave you the argument, the pro. And that's all we're going to learn. We're going to find out. Now, this is all about, let's be honest, Carl, about Matt and the hiring process. A big part of this is his offense humming.
It is.
And that's why we're spending some time talking about Tommy Reese.
Here is Stefanski talking about, to Mike's point, about our young quarterback. What are you going to do about developing all this talent, this young talent on this roster?
I've spoken to a lot of our players. There's still phone calls I need to make. I'm getting through it. But having talked to our guys, I can't tell you how excited I am to coach this roster, how talented some of these young players are. I know this as coaches, we can't wait to develop these players, and we can't wait to help these players become the best versions of themselves.
Okay.
Now, again, that's a phrase every coach who's been doing a press conference is using. We heard it a lot with Raheem.
Best version of themselves.
We've heard it a lot.
On the grass.
Now, it's a phrase I've never used. I'm just generally, I know what the best version of myself is. I generally, now granted, do I give, now sometimes I screw up, but I'm trying to put forward the best. I assume you and I are both trying to put the best version of ourselves out there every day.
I try, Mike, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. The best version doesn't come out. But yes, I'm with you.
A version of myself.
But they all say it.
Right. It just, it's sort of worked its way into the corporate lexicon. It's in the vocabulary of a lot of coaches. It's okay.
Orin, I want you to be the best version of yourself on the show today. Day-Day, I need you to be the best version of yourself.
Right.
Look, it's funny because Mike and I, we hear this all the time, and there are times when we're interviewing coaches and it's like we're looking at each other and going, haven't we heard that somewhere before? But he's not lying. The problem is you take it as coach, but he's not lying. Like, the best version of Michael Penix, I guarantee you, will win in 12 games. Guarantee you. The worst version, well, don't want to know what that looks like, right? And I'm not talking about the injury. He's not lying. The best version of Bijan Robinson, he's probably the MVP of the league next year. So if there's something to be said about that.
Right.
But it's how we get there. How do you get the best version of these guys? And, Mike, that's the long, drawn-out process that really – most fans, including you and I, because we're instant gratification too, guys. This is why we don't want to wait. I'm tired of waiting. I told Mike that we went to break. I said, I'm just tired of losing, man. I'm just tired of losing.
I mean, you needed one more stinking win to be the playoffs, and we're not even having a press conference today. And Raheem's got the job. I don't know how far we would have gone with his team.
You're right.
You know, but Kirk Cousins certainly were able to do more with the Zach Robinson offense. But again, that's all in the rear view. You know, the perfect example of the good, the bad, and the ugly all in one game for me was the Berlin game against the Colts, where Michael Penix puts an absolute dime in Pitts' hands. Whoops, he drops it.
Dropped it.
Right? That you can't put that on him. Then there were some dopey play calls. I sat behind the bench. I saw Penix, give me the blanking play. His words, screaming at Zach to get the play in a timely fashion. Then there was those third and longs. Right? Then there were things that were beyond his control, like allowing the other running back to go for 240 yards. Mm. So, I mean, then the defense, you know, remember like chicken and the egg. They had this argument all season long. You really can't expect our defense to hold when it's three and out, three and out, three and out. And there was too much of that with Zach Robinson and Michael Penix Jr.
No, there was.
Hopefully that changes now.
Yeah, man. As we talk about the presser today, coming up, by the way, in the 4 o'clock hour, you'll get a chance to hear Matt with our guys, Andy and Randy. And then, obviously, Kevin Stefanski later in the show as well. So we want you to hear all the things and what they're talking about as we are your home for Atlanta Falcon football. And, of course, throughout the offseason. I told you, it's going to be a big offseason. And it is. Now, did we know there were going to be major changes across the board? No, we didn't. But once that stuff happened, Mike, it completely turned how this offseason may need to go. And again, you know, that gets us to what, Mike, who we're keeping. Okay, we hadn't even started talking about this stuff because the staff's not in place yet, and we're still trying to figure all this out. But who we're keeping? Mike, where are the cuts, and how do we create more cap money to potentially go out and address some of this other stuff? It's not going to be, guys, we're not going to have $150 million to go spend, okay? But we do need to create more cap space to have some room to go address some of this stuff. And then what's the approach with the draft? And then all of a sudden, guys, we're going to be back at Flowery before you know it, and we're going to be seeing what this team looks like. The good news is I think the foundation – of a really good football team is here already.
Right. Now, guy hit me up just now, and he goes, "Why? What's going on with the GM?" I go, well, I do think there's some GM. I don't know, like two ways of looking at this. There's a perception that it is going to be Matt's vision, although Matt's not saying he's running shotgun over this thing, but I think he is. I'd like it. Maybe that's me projecting. See, everyone comes from an angle, right? So either way, if you are an assistant GM, you want to be a GM, you might be listening more to Matt than, I say, I don't know. I don't know how this dynamic is going to play. Matt said the GM is going to have autonomy. But there is a – it's certainly – look, we're the only team that's interviewing a GM, and now it's just trying to find the perfect piece. Based on resume, it's Ian Cunningham, slam dunk, based on the people he's worked with. But we keep hearing more about the Texans assistant GM. He's going to get another shot at FaceTime. But if you are an assistant GM, and do you feel, Carl, that you'll be more of an assistant GM than a GM here, then maybe you don't take the job.
Yeah. It look, and it's all
if
about,
you have a dream about being the man somewhere.
Well, some of these guys, Mike – are going to be in position to take either the teams that they are currently on over or more GM jobs open up next year, right? This year just happened to be like, okay, not a lot of general managers. Every time it's different. These cycles are different. We saw 10 jobs open up all of a sudden after these playoffs played out, and coaches became the priority. Some years, guys, it's been 6 or 7 general manager jobs. Mm-hmm. So some of these guys, Mike, may say, depending on what this situation looks like to them, I'll hold out another year. because I know there'll be multiple GM jobs that are open, and right. I may want to go somewhere where I can call the shots if that's not how I feel like it's going to happen here. I do think that Matt, and the way that he's approaching this, and this makes me feel really good too, is the right way. He is not coming in pounding his chest and saying my way or the highway, even though he probably could, and I think Arthur Blank would say whatever you want. He is literally telling you, I want to hire good football people around me and work through this thing and allow people to do their jobs. And I just feel like that's the way you have to go about it. He may get some of this wrong. Matter of fact, he will. If he does it long enough, Mike, you're going to choose right. some wrong people and along the way. But the process in which he's going about this, I think, is the right way to try to do this. And we'll find out and see. That's the reason why I think a lot of you feel good today. I want you to hear Kevin Stefanski on Bijan Robinson. I don't know what the exact question was, Mike. You were there. I just heard... just heard Kevin go. He said, what do you think about Bijan? If whoever asked the question, he was like, he's good. And I started laughing because right. I'm like, what do you want him to say about Bijan Robinson? Here's Stefanski.
Yeah, I love Bijan. I spent some time with him. You know, when I first got hired, I think I sent him a very late text message. Sorry, Bijan. But just I couldn't wait to talk to him. Spent some time with him in Flowery Branch in the locker room, just catching up. He's a special person. I'd start there. This is a special person that everybody told me about, but then I got to see for myself what type of person he is, and he's team-oriented. He's an intelligent player, and there's no shortage to what he can do with the football in his hands, and that's our job as coaches to find ways to get that ball in his hands.
Yeah, look, I'd be excited too. I mean, he right. knows... He knows that
that's a special toy to play with, man, in the drawer.
He can carry you.
Right.
He can literally carry you where you want to go. And he's already shown you that he can do it in a multitude of ways. So, yeah, I get it, but it just made me laugh. It's like, what do you think of Bijan Robinson? He's good.
right.
He's right. a really good player.
Right. Having fun. So that's where, you know, now we move forward with Penix. The next question is, how is Penix Jr.'s rehab? They're saying he's attacking his rehab.
I hope so.
That's cool. I mean, he's getting after it. And look, we all were impressed by Michael Penix Jr.
What is this? Is he like in the Rocky movie?
Well, these are the buzzwords. Yes, Michael Penix Jr. right now, he's actually on a snow-capped peak somewhere in Russia with an ox cart.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, and there's a Survivor soundtrack in the background. Yeah. But that's like, now the question would be, and I already addressed it, or guys were asking earlier about Cousins. There's nothing to say about Cousins. That's a call for the GM. They have created options, we believe, mostly to get him off the books and keep it that way. You know, but if there's a setback with Penix, perhaps they then further renegotiate Cousins. It won't be cheap. You'll still be paying a lot of money for a quarterback.
Yeah, you are.
And you'll have Cousins for at least one more year. But Cousins is not going to come back saying, yeah, I'll keep the seat warm till week four. He's not going to sign off on that.
No, he wants to play. If he comes back, he wants to play. Right. And it creates another issue. But don't you feel like the way Kirk has just stepped into that CBS role, all of a sudden now he's setting himself up too. Like if he wants to walk away, he can.
He can do that. By the way, there will be a time and when Romo has been shuffled off to see that, yeah, I can see Cousins in the number one seat at somebody's TV operation.
All right.
He'll be that good. He's got that personality.
No, he does. He does. Fourth and one is coming up. The Bills have made their hire. Mike says it is uncompelling. Find out who they went with next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's rehab in a montage.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.